Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
We sure hope you had a good week, and thanks for taking the time to download our podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach, using biblical principles, the best ways to handle money. The name of the study is Faith, Money, and Matters. Follow these principles, and not only will you eliminate your debt altogether, but you can enjoy a debt-free life. You can learn a lot more simply by going to our website, compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Now, on today's show, we're going to tackle the art of complaining, not whining, but complaining effectively. And we preach over and over each week the importance of managing your money. And sometimes you have to complain, especially if you hired someone that may not have delivered on their promise to do the job right. Right, John?
You know, check out licenses and ratings and complaints on the BBB side, or go to sites like Angie's List or Home Advisors. They have a lot of good comments and ratings of vendors. It's always a good idea to talk to other people about the companies that they've used and how the company performed and what worked well and what didn't work well.
But you know, no matter how hard you try to be a good steward and spend money wisely, there's always the potential for issues to occur. No matter how much background work you do, or how much you look on sites like Angie's List or Home Advisor or Yelp, or how many contractors you interview before this starting the remodeling on the house, or how many friends or neighbors or relatives you talk to before you buy.
So we always have the potential for running into problems. And maybe the product simply doesn't work, or it doesn't perform as advertised, or maybe some aspects of the job were left unfinished. And when this type of thing happens, well, it's time to seek correction.
Time to complain.
Well, I don't want it to be whiny, but there are some very definite steps that people can take that are coming from a great perspective, a Christian perspective, where you're not attacking people, you're just trying to get things fixed.
But I don't think complaining is attacking people. I think complaining is just stating a problem and letting somebody know that something isn't right.
But I think there's various forms.
There's individuals that when they complain, and I don't know if they intentionally mean it, but just how they verbalize, your defense gets up right away.
Yeah, the ones you hear that go, wah, wah, wah.
Exactly.
Well, that's why we're here today to talk about this, because we want to help people have positive experiences when something doesn't go right, and good ways to complain so that they can get satisfaction on whatever the problem is.
So are there some steps that you're going to give us, Evelyn?
Of course, they're in my spreadsheet. So the first thing is to be very clear about the problem. When you're complaining about something, be very specific about the issues. If you say things like, I'm not happy, or this isn't done to my satisfaction, it really doesn't define the issue.
So you have to be as specific as possible about the problem, so the person that you're talking to or who's reading your complaint doesn't consider you to be a whiner. For example, if you're unhappy with the installation of your kitchen cabinets, a better way to complain is to say, well, I'm really unhappy with the cabinets that you installed in my kitchen because they're not level and therefore the doors don't open or close properly. What are you doing when you say it that way? You're actually defining a very specific issue, and the person on the receiving end can pinpoint the problem.
And what I like is you're dealing in fact, not emotion, because you bring emotion into it.
Yes, it's very easy to get whiny and angry and spin off into all kinds of bad directions.
And, you know, you might have to, you know, wait a while before you talk about your complaint, because when it first happens, and if you spend a lot of money, people get upset.
They do.
And they get emotional. When I spend money, it's an emotional day.
Because he doesn't do it very often. So it's a real emotional day.
But you know what's fun when he does that? See the moths come out of the wallet. Because I always ask myself.
There's so many of them, aren't there?
Yeah, because I do. I ask myself, do you know how many months it's been since he opened that last?
So the second rule for effective complaining is know what you want to achieve. So the most effective complaints also come with a clear indication of what needs to happen, as far as you're concerned, to resolve the issue.
If you're going to write an email or a letter to complain, you want to clearly define the problem and clearly define the resolution that you hope to achieve.
If you want a refund for a product or service that didn't live up to your expectations, say so. But if a refund's not going to make you happy and that won't be enough, then say that too. If you're just simply looking for an apology, then make that clear. So being specific about the resolution you want makes your complaint much easier to deal with, and it's also more likely that you'll have your problem resolved to your satisfaction.
Yeah, they're not shooting in the dark trying to figure out, well, what's going to make this person happy? You know, you've actually told them what's going to make you happy.
Do you remember at work we used to call that bring me a rock?
Oh, I used to hate that.
Did you ever do that, Steve?
No.
When your boss gave you a very vague definition of what they wanted, and you gave them a solution, and that wasn't the right solution, so you had to keep going back, but they would never define it clearly.
Oh.
And it was bring me a rock. Nope, wrong rock. Give me another rock.
I used to have this great big rock pile sitting next to my desk.
When you have a resolution in your mind, but it doesn't fit the resolution that you're complaining to, I mean, should you be, stick to your guns, or you be somewhat negotiable?
Well, I think you need to be negotiable, but if you go in with the resolution you want, I think you're much more likely to get it rather than leaving it up to them to decide what's going to make you happy.
Oh, right, I agree with you there.
But if you are willing to compromise or to listen to an alternative solution, mm-hmm. you might end up with something that's even better than what you were hoping for in the first place. So I think it's good to be open to that, because you know, what you consider or you might consider to be very difficult for the other person to achieve or to accomplish might be the easiest thing in the world for them to do from their perspective. And then you really, everybody's a win-win that way.
Compromise.
Yeah.
Compromise. But what you don't want to compromise on is following the complaint process, if there is one. So if most companies have a designated complaint procedure, you're probably going to get a better result if you first go through that procedure. But if it's an online form, be sure you make a screen print in case that complaint form that you do online doesn't also send you an email in the process.
Right. And I think that's important with anything that you do. You know, you're documenting and you've got a hard copy, okay? If the complaint process doesn't work, or if your complaint seems to get stuck in a black hole, write a letter or send an email to the chief executive directly by name. And if you do a little bit of digging, you can generally find the details of this person's mailing address, or even in some cases, their email address. Not that they'll open it themselves specifically. It's probably got an admin who reads through that stuff first, but you'll find the address that will go directly to this person, it's going to work better that way. And people who take the time to look up that stuff will get better results.
Do you think you'd have better results? Let's take it on a couple of different levels. If you're dealing with, let's say, a local contractor, you're remodeling your kitchen and you're not happy with the cabinets, rather than an email or a letter, a phone call, or going face-to-face and meet the individual and follow up with something in writing?
Well, I think that it is always a good idea to try to go in person. The problem with going in person is you have no documentation. And on some of these issues, you really want to have documentation of what you sent them, what they sent you. So there's a follow-up, and you can keep track of how many times you had to follow up, or how many times you had to call, or how many times they said they'd get back to you and they didn't. So I would suggest that you go in person rather than phoning. But if you can't go in person, then I suggest the next best way is either a certified letter or an email, especially on the bigger things.
Is there an expectation on when you should be hearing back from the individual that you're corresponding with?
Probably. It depends on the size of the problem. I mean, if you just had a new roof installed and it's leaking, I would hope they would get back to you within days.
Got it.
You know, if it's something...
Hours.
Yeah. But if it's something like you're not happy with the cabinets because one door is the wrong color, well, they may have to order it, and that may take several weeks or even a month.
Okay.
If a company is really consumer conscious, they will respond back to you in a matter of 24 to 48 hours. I've had two situations. It wasn't a complaint, but I was dealing with an organization, two different organizations. One was a city organization. One was a doctor's organization, where I went to their website and I followed their process. And I have never heard back from either one of them. I don't know why they even have that stuff on the website, because they're not going to do anything with it.
Well, I think a lot of times they have a complaint process on the website hoping you'll blow it off, you know, get it off your chest, put a complaint out there, vent, and forget about it. You know, if you phone in a complaint, it's really easy to ignore because there's no documentation. So writing or going in person is a much better way, because if you're standing at the reception desk, they've got to do something with you. They can't just ignore you. They've got to answer you or escort you out of the building or something.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Evelyn. I hate to do stuff on the telephone because you don't have any documentation. Some places, they actually record the conversation that you have with the person, and then they send it to you. Those kinds of situations are good, but they're few and far between.
Today on Manage Your Money God's Way, we are discussing how to complain effectively. And the bullet point so far is deal in fact. And don't forget, document everything, especially if you're going to communicate your idea of a resolution. Better to send a letter or email or go in person. The last resort, a phone call in the complaint. And sometimes that may be the only method. And if you do, again, document that phone call. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Now, if you missed any of the bullet points we are sharing, we have those listed on our website, compasscatholic.org. Scroll down on the homepage and click on the little button that says Podcast Summary. John, what's some other rules that we should be aware of when making a complaint?
When you want to file a complaint against a company, the first thing you need to do is gather all your records, the sales receipts, the warranties, any contracts or work orders that you have from when you purchased this product. You just want to gather all of these details and put them in one place. Now, if Evelyn and I were doing this, we'd put it on a spreadsheet because that's the way we think. But you do it in the manner that is easiest for you. And then you want to print out any of the email messages that you've received or logs, like we were talking about previously, if you had a conversation and they did a phone log or something like that. And you get all this stuff together before you make contact. So you've got it all in one spot in order, and you can present a logical, detailed explanation.
Well, I think that's really important, because if the complaint takes a long time to resolve, or if it's been a long process like remodeling the house or something, you may get confused about who you talked to when and what they said. So you should keep track of everything and make sure it's logical and you can understand it.
Yeah, I can't keep track of who I talked to yesterday, let alone last month. So it's really important. And there's a lot of people that are like that. When you are complaining, document each touch point you have with the business. So every time that you start a conversation with somebody at the business, whether it's a phone, a visit, an email, whatever. You put down the day and the date and the time and the person that you talk to.
And a summary of what you talked about.
Exactly, exactly. Make sure you keep a full record of all the communications, dates, details, names. Keep copies of all the letters and emails. And don't just keep them electronically. I think in this kind of a situation, it's good to have it printed out, because you could always end up losing that data that's electronic. So if you've got it backed up because you've got it printed out, I think that's a good way to go.
And that's really helpful if the situation drags on and on, because it helps you define the amount of effort you extended to try to help and resolve things.
And so every time you follow up, you're going to repeat this process, the day and date, time, person, et cetera, et cetera. And be persistent. It's just really helpful to document. And then the other thing is, if somebody, you're on the phone with somebody or in, even in person, and they start questioning you, well, I don't think you talked to this person or that. You've got it all written out there, and you can give it to them back verbatim. On this day at this time, I talked to this, and on this day at this time, I talked to so-and-so, and on this day and this time, I talked to, they know once you've done that.
They know you mean business.
That you're pretty serious about this.
So one of the things you can also do judiciously is to use social media. You know, if you issue a complaint on Twitter, especially with the hashtag of the company's name or one of the executives, and you have something like bad customer service in your tweet, that's likely to get a lot of attention.
And most large companies have somebody that monitors all of the social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any of these other social media applications. They monitor those constantly. If they find that somebody is complaining, they don't want that to get up ahead of steam. So they want to cut it off at the very beginning before it becomes a big issue. And it gives them all this bad press. You know, their reputation is online. And when you put it out there on social media, there's a lot of people that are going to see it. So because of that, I think you have to be extra cautious with what you say.
It has to be very factual, not emotional.
Yes.
And it needs to be the truth. And you can't get whiny about it, I guess is a good way to put it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And this is another point of contact with the chief executive officer, because you can normally find their name in a social media context. So craft your complaint very carefully and be precise. Don't be rambling around. It doesn't need to be, you know, going on forever, because nobody's going to be reading that.
If it's Twitter, it can't be long.
Well, if you're tweeting, you know, it's so many characters, but people will do lots of things goofy.
Two of the companies that I was consulting, they had, it's called reputation software, and the CEOs only wanted to see the negative ones, and they were instantly sent to both of these individuals, two separate companies. So they do look reviews, comments. And it's amazing how many sites out there the software will monitor for them.
I understand that totally, because those are the ones that are going to ruin your reputation with others.
Yep.
Another thing to keep in mind is to be reasonable expectations for the kind of response you're going to get. Don't feel that you need to jump at the first reply they give you. If it doesn't satisfy you, make sure you are reasonable about what you expect and be sure the resolution is going to resolve the issue you're having.
So I'm assuming that my idea of getting quadruple damages is probably not reasonable.
Probably not reasonable at all.
I guess the other thing we want to talk about is really maintaining your composure through all of this. Some people get really excited. They get really angry. And when that happens, they say things that they don't really mean to say, in a context that is totally inappropriate. You know, if you do that, the chances are the people are just going to totally ignore you. They're going to shut you down totally. And you've ruined any opportunity you had to resolve the situation. It's okay to be mad, but you can't do that in...
You can't fly off the handle.
You can't do that in your transaction with the company.
Because if you do, there's every situation, every possibility that you're going to be misunderstood. I mean, they're going to just, especially if you're on the phone, I can just see the person on the other end of the phone rolling their eyes and saying, I've got a whiner over here. You know, they're just complaining.
And right? That's what's tough about emails, too, because you know how individuals yes. read different things into emails. Your intention may not be, you know, that you're going to go crazy, but yeah. the person reading it may take it. So you just have to word any letter or email that you send carefully.
And I think the other thing that you need to do is make sure you go back through everything that you've gotten from this company, going all the way back to the sales order, if necessary, to make sure that you haven't misunderstood.
Good point.
Something that is causing this issue. You know, maybe you didn't understand that they were going to do it A way and you wanted it to be Z way. Or
that thus and such wasn't included in the contract in the first place and you thought it was.
Yeah.
So sometimes it might be better to wait a day or so before you write that letter or send the email or do the call, because it's better to be calm. And remember the golden rule from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, John, which is,
do to others whatever you would have them do to you.
So just imagine yourself at the other end of your complaint and see how you would like the way you're coming at it. Be nice, be gentle, be kind, but be firm.
So what are we supposed to do, Evelyn, if we don't get the response that we want?
First of all, make sure they totally understand the problem, because like Steve said, it's real easy to misunderstand letters or emails. And one of the ways to do that is to ask them questions. What do you think I said about this problem? To make sure that they understand what you're complaining about. And if they're responding to a completely different point, then re-explain what your issue is. And if they're being downright rude, ask them.
Oh, that's never happened before.
Ask them politely to please maintain their politeness too. And if you're not happy with the person you're talking to, take it up the ladder.
Yeah, ask to speak to their manager. That's for sure. So if you've tried every possible way to resolve the issue directly with the business and it still hasn't worked, then you probably need to take it a step further. What can we do then, Evelyn?
Well, you can always go to a government or a nonprofit consumer organization, like a local TV station. I know our news outlets here in Orlando have a consumer
reporter
that responds to things like that. You might file a complaint with your local consumer protection office or the state regulatory agency or the licensing board that has jurisdiction over the seller. You can always notify the Better Business Bureau in your area, as they always try to resolve complaints against companies.
And, you know, I don't want to just gloss over the TV thing, because I've seen the TV reporters really accomplish some great things, because the company definitely doesn't want this bad publicity on the TV. And that's always, you know, a possibility if you've got a TV station involved in helping you figure out the way to get a solution.
Well, from what I've seen, the TV stations are very factual about what's going on with the issue, where they're not going to jump off the bridge and the deep end and go off in a direction that doesn't really serve things. And the other thing is, there's federal agencies that accept complaints about companies. So they may not resolve your problem, but they can help investigate fraud if you're a victim of fraud.
So you might go to the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, or your state attorney general, eConsumer.gov if the purchase was with a foreign retailer. And, you know, the other thing is, if you made a purchase using your credit card, you can dispute the charge through your credit card company.
And we've done that many times.
Yeah,
we
got something and we ordered through the credit card and it was bad or failed or whatever, they're very good at getting your money back for you.
And as a last straw, if everything else fails and you don't have another option, seek legal help. We're not a fan of that option, but sometimes there's no other choice.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, we have all of the How to Complain Effectively rules posted on our website, compasscatholic.org. Just on the homepage, scroll down, click on Podcast Summary. Also, if you have any comments or feedback on today's show, or maybe you have a topic that you would like to hear us discuss, simply email your comments to info, I-N-F-O, at compasscatholic.org. All right, John and Evelyn, what do you say we tackle a few emails that we received this week? Here's question number one. We recently sold our vacation home for quite a profit. My husband is already retired, and I'm within a few years of retirement. After tithing and paying off the house we live in, what should we do with the rest of the money?
Wow, that's great that you were able to sell your second home at a nice profit. Congratulations. First, you should check with your tax preparer to find out what kind of capital gains that you're going to have and set that money aside in a money market fund so you'll have it available when it comes time to pay taxes. And then I would suggest taking a look at the Compass Money Map. You can download it on the compasscatholic.org website, and it's free. Take a look at it and complete any of the destinations remaining on your journey to true financial freedom. For example, if you have any consumer debt, pay it off. You want to keep your cost of living as low as possible as you go into your retirement years.
All right, John and Evelyn, this is a question we hear often when we're out doing workshops. If you have online banking with your checking account, is it necessary to balance your bank accounts?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Always.
All the time.
I think you kind of get the drift. Just because you access your banking balance in an online format doesn't mean that the bank can't make some mistakes. It's always a good idea to keep your checkbook balanced, whether it's in paper or online or maybe a little bit of both. And it helps you to stay on top of your finance if you're balancing it each month. Mistakes are much easier to fix if they're caught early. And I would even add that you should be balancing your credit card statements too, making sure the receipts charged match the receipts that you've kept.
And we have time for one more. John and Evelyn, I am debt-free except for my mortgage, which I should pay off in 4 years. However, I do anticipate selling the house before then. I recently received $2,500, and I'm wondering if I should use it to pay down the mortgage or invest it in upgrades around the house.
If you're thinking about selling your house, it's important to interview a real estate broker. So I would use this as an opportunity to find a capable real estate broker, talk to three of them, and get their input on what needs to be done in order to sell your home and get the best price possible. Sometimes these home improvements more than pay for themselves, and sometimes they don't. So having a pro give you advice would be a valuable thing to do at this point.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, if you have a question you would like John and Evelyn's thoughts on, maybe a financial situation that you're in, simply email your questions to ask, at compasscatholic.org. That email address again is ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, thank you so much for listening. And remember, we have that brand new podcast for you each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on podcast, and there you will find not only the latest podcast, but also our archive of all the shows that we have done over the last number of years. And if you need some bullet points, click on podcast summary to get the highlights in text form. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.